Well, as we're approaching Pentecost, which will be next Sunday, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, what is commonly regarded as the founding of the church, I wanted to just look briefly at, for this devotion, at Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11, which speaks of that in-between time when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit was poured out, a time of waiting. Now, many of us probably have seen that very familiar poster of a cat hanging from a clothesline, and it has the caption, "Hang in there." I've seen that in people's houses and workplaces. I've even seen it on t-shirts printed, "Hang in there." Well, that's not always something that we like hearing, because it often implies that we are enduring something that is not enjoyable, a difficult time in life, a difficult season perhaps. But it is one that God often encourages his people with. He has throughout the Old Testament and certainly in the New. And Acts chapter 1 was no exception in that historical time of the church, the founding of it. We know that a major shift on earth and even in heaven took place during that time. The resurrected Jesus was about to ascend back to his rightful place in glory by his Father. And that meant for a short time, 10 days, his disciples would have to hang in there for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this was communicated by Jesus to his disciples in verses 4 and 5 of where we will be reading. And it feels like that often today, not just on a personal level, but really as we march forward in the timeline of God has laid out. And what we commonly refer to as the latter days, it feels like there's a period of hanging in there. But we're not hanging in there for the promise of the Holy Spirit, for he is freely poured out even unto this day, given to the believer. But we are waiting for his return. He says that he has promised to return once again. And so this time of hanging in there, and I believe as many Bible commentators have said, that they believe that the first century church, or the latter church, I should say, will resemble much more of the first century church, which was smaller and often persecuted. And we see that even in our day. As we celebrate, or are about to celebrate, Pentecost, let us look at what the church was dealing with during that transition period at the day our Lord Jesus ascended back to glory. And so if you have your Bible and want to turn to Acts chapter 1, and we'll be reading the first 11 verses. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that which Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, and after that he through the Holy Ghost has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. And he, as we read here, there is many infallible proofs. He appeared to up to over 500 men at once, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. And a very undeniable fact to those at that time. He made his presence known because he wanted to encourage, to assure them that he truly had risen, he had given victory over death, and that our resurrection to those who would trust in him is assured as well. And you can see the change of the followers of Jesus after his ascension or after his resurrection, because prior to that, they didn't seem very willing to die for their faith. But after he had arisen and they had witnessed him, they certainly were, and many did, in fact, die for their faith. A great proof to us. But before Jesus ascended back to glory, he told his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. What was that promise? It was the promise of the Holy Ghost. This was a fulfillment of Jesus' words that he had spoken in John chapter 16, where Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter, a name given to that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was, of course, speaking of him, to come into the world and for really a dual purpose ministry. One was to convict sinners, this world, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Secondly, of course, for the believer, the great promise to indwell believers, to guide us unto all truth, to seal us until the day of redemption. But before this would take place on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the resurrections, the disciples would have to wait, and they would have to wait in Jerusalem for 10 days. 10 days doesn't seem like a long time to us, maybe. For others, it may seem like an eternity. I certainly think for the disciples, it must have seemed like an eternity. Here they had walked with Jesus for so many years, and now all of a sudden he was gone, and it seemed as though they were comfortless. But Jesus promised they would not remain that way. He would send the Holy Spirit unto them. And 10 days in the Bible is a period of testing patience while waiting for an answer. And some very short examples of that we see in Genesis 24, verse 55. Rebekah was given 10 days to decide if she wanted to become Isaac's wife. Jeremiah 42, verse 7. Jeremiah petitioned the Lord for 10 days as to whether or not they should go down to Egypt or into captivity to Babylon. Daniel 1, verse 12 to 14 speaks of Daniel and his three friends fasting and praying, but also not eating, abstaining from the meat and wine offered to them as a proof that they were true servants of God and would not defile themselves with the Babylonian food and drink. Acts 25, verse 6 speaks of Festus, who took 10 days before deciding the fate of Paul, where he would go. And most compelling, I think, for the church comes directly from our Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation, speaking through John to the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2, verse 10, where we read, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." It is a test of patience. 10 days was a time determined by God to test us, to wait for his answering, as he would answer. And whether the church as a whole will go through a literal 10 days like that of Smyrna, I do not know, but I know that certainly that principle still remains, to hang in there when things get difficult, when there is uncertainty. We are hanging in there patiently waiting for our Lord's return and the crown of righteousness he has promised to all those who endure the trial of temptation, as James 1 verse 12 also tells us. And so as we look forward to celebrating Pentecost next week, the founding of the church and the gifting of the Holy Ghost, let us be looking forward and excited, truly excited about meeting our Lord, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, our Lord.